Systemic Teaching About Christian Life Series The Gospel, The Good News of God. Distribution conditions of this material are described at zoominchristianlife.org. Subject of this audio: Much More Than a Message, An Offer of True Life. Chapter 1. Adjusting the Focus of How We See What We See. One of the objectives of the series of subjects named as the Gospel, the Good News of God, which begins here, is the exploration of some of the great and striking features of this immeasurable theme called the Gospel of God. The Gospel of God, as will be seen throughout this theme and other subjects in this series, is unique, incomparable, and unparalleled, for through it, a person can know the essential aspects of everything that the human being needs to achieve a life according to the will of God. And yet, in addition, the extension of the Gospel of God comprises not only the questions of the present life but also the essential questions about the life to come in eternity. Certainly, we will come across the lack of words to speak of the greatness of the attributes involved in the Gospel of God. For no matter how much one enhances what is related to this gospel, there will always be something else to be discovered. The aspects that are correlated with the gospel of God are inexhaustible, just as everything in God is inexhaustible. Moreover, also for this reason, that the gospel of God receives several names that exalt its greatness, such as 1. The Gospel of the Creator. 2. The Gospel of Christ. 3. The Gospel of the Kingdom of God. 4. The Gospel of the Righteousness of God. 5. The Gospel of Peace. 6. The Gospel of Salvation. 7. The Gospel of the Power of God. 8. The Gospel of the Grace of God. 9. The Gospel of the Promise. 10. The Gospel of the Glory of God and the Glory of Christ. 11. The Eternal Gospel. Nevertheless, before we turn more deeply into various specific aspects of the Gospel of God, it seems to us that there are some points needed to be addressed in advance because of their vital importance. One of the central aspects that precede a better understanding of a theme is the way we approach it. The way we look at some theme and the way we approach it may have a high relevance in the conclusions that we reach on the subject and how we relate to it. There are a lot of aspects of life that are available to people, but which stay unnoticed because people do not give them proper attention or because they do not use adequate means to observe them. We know that the human being, in the natural life, perceives the world around him or her primarily by the five natural senses, namely, sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. The five senses of the human beings, however, are not sufficiently qualified to perceive all the things that occur in the world in which a person lives. Even a person with five senses in perfect functioning is extremely limited about many perceptions of what occurs very close, the more those occurring in more distant places. For a person to overcome the limits of the five natural senses, one needs other tools of support. For instance, to see the microorganisms that surround one individual, a person needs to be amply supported by external equipment with high microscopic capacities. Also, for example, to see galaxies, a person needs to be broadly supported by equipment with high macroscopic capabilities. For their time, microscopic or macroscopic equipment, on the other hand, have a common and primordial aspect of functioning properly. All the beginning of the use of these equipment passes through a previous adjustment of the focus in relation to the objects that are aimed to observe. Without a proper adjustment of the focus, the prospect of a good observation of the object adopted as the target of study might be greatly impaired. The need for focus adjustments, however, does not occur only for equipment that use lenses to visualize beyond what the human eye reaches. The concept of adjusting the precision of the observation processes or making the perceptions of more aspects of life more accurate is also applicable of what is beyond of the mere perception of the five senses. After a person gets something through the five senses, a treatment process of whatever a person received comes into question. Science has grown daily in the improvement of correction techniques and aiding the deficiencies and limitations that the five senses present, but the perfecting of the five senses does not always guarantee the improvement of the personal abilities of how each person deals with what has been received or perceived. One person, for instance, can be widely enlightened through visual, auditory, and experimental exposures about the damages of a particular practice, but still persist in using it despite having received the correct information about the risk of it. In this case, the problem is not in the five senses, but it is in the way one deals with the information that one has received. The way in which a person interprets what is offered is often far more determinant for an adequate perception of what is exposed to him or her than the simple and elementary perception of the five natural senses which one possesses. A person may be daily facing something sublime and excellent, but still not perceive its importance for lack of a broader understanding of what is put, even continually and repeatedly, in front of him or her. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to the world in the flesh, warned people, on several occasions, about the possibility of them to be in front of God's great gifts and still do not perceive them because of their misjudgment about what was offered them, as quoted in the following text. Matthew 13, 15. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Moreover, among the many gifts of God that are available, but which a large part of the humanity does not receive properly, there is also, mainly, the gospel of God. It is interesting to note, in the centuries of human history, that the gospel of God often was rejected not because of the content presented by it. The gospel has been refused many times simply by the incomprehension caused by the way people approach to it and because of what they expect from the gospel without even knowing its content more accurately. Just as many did not realize or did not want to see that the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world as the Son of the Most High God, conceived by God directly in the womb of Mary through the Holy Spirit, so also many still do not realize or do not want to see the testimony of the gospel that proceeds from the one eternal Father, from the unique Father of lights. A more in-depth knowledge of the gospel of God is of particular importance because the gospel of God cannot be modified or molded to the mere convenience or the desires of the people. The gospel of God is well defined, constant, and as the Lord conceived it. The gospel of God is not a set of good news that proclaims freedom for people to create their own dreams and plans with the expectation that God will bless them in whatever they try to do in the name of the faith from themselves. Through his gospel, the Heavenly Father offers the provision of how a person can live a life according to the divine will or according to the will of God. One of the significant problems that prevent a greater understanding of the gospel of God is what many people speak and propagate about the gospel of God without actually checking what it is like and without actually ascertaining the gospel according to what God has established about it. Many preconsiderations that current generations receive about the gospel of God have been handed down from generation to generation and do not fit the gospel that has been given to us by God, as well as they also do not match with the contents of the Bible scriptures about this gospel. Although sad, it is interesting and important to note that many aspects that compromise a sound understanding of the gospel of God are not those that oppose this gospel directly. Many aspects that withstand a proper knowledge of the gospel are those that even seem to be sympathetic to some parts of the gospel, but that more ahead, however, try to act to reduce or corrupt the understanding of the true greatness of the gospel. Although the gospel of God is also addressed to people who do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to reduce the gospel to the idea of a message addressed only to non-Christians, for instance, is an affront to the greatness of the gospel and the truths that are contained in it to be accessed and used, exactly, by Christians. Presenting the gospel only as a message is even more tragic and sad. Presenting the gospel only as a good message is an attempt to steal the essence of the gospel given by the eternal Lord. Trying to reduce the gospel of God to written texts and only to the first four books of the New Testament is another expression of incomprehension of the greatness of this gospel. The scriptures on the gospel of God are permeated by the entire so-called New Testament, and also its pre-announcement is found throughout all the scriptures that preceded Christ's coming in the flesh to earth. Paul, one of the apostles of Christ, dedicated his whole life, after converting to Christ, to proclaim the gospel of the Lord, making all his letters also the written expression of the gospel itself. Paul's letters, as well as the other apostles, are also genuine expressions of the gospel of God, as are the so-called four gospels. Paul was called to live according to the gospel and to live the rest of his life entirely separated for this gospel, as exemplified below. Romans 1, 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. Romans 1, 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. It has seemed to us that we live in a time when various sophisms or fallacies about the gospel need to be actively confronted and rejected, even before we go further on the study of this gospel. Sophisms are deceptive or misleading thoughts that seem to be true, and it is amazing to see how some of them can influence the approach to such important matters as the gospel of God. The sophisms are like veils that prevent people from seeing with clarity many aspects that may be very close to them. The sophisms are like hoods that prevent people from seeing the light on the other side of these hoods, although the light may be so close to them. The wrong expectation that individuals have about a certain aspect can blind their understanding of what actually has being offered to them. Sophisms are obstacles close to a person that aim to prevent that the focus on something farther may be able to be adequately adjusted. Sophisms seek to interpose between a person and the proper understanding of the truth. Sophisms or sophistries are concepts or conceptions that strive to take root in the minds and hearts of people to try to lead them to an error of understanding, aiming to prevent these people from seeing what they should see and from an understanding of what they should understand. The sophisms are apparent truths, but whose overall set is false, making people who believe in them also visualize false purposes and results. The sophisms are not necessarily complex and elaborate thoughts with many sayings and long sentences. Sophisms can be short and small thoughts, but with significant and prolonged effects on the lives of those who assimilate them. When a Christian, for example, allows to be subjected to the short concept that the gospel of God is only a message addressed to non-Christians, he or she also allows that the essential truths offered by the gospel to live the Christian life remain kept covered to him or her by a veil resulting from a brief, but subtle, distorted thought. So, in view of the issues mentioned so far in the introduction to this subject, we would like to propose to initiate the series on the gospel of God by some more peripheral points but of not lesser importance, moving on later to a more particular approach of the contents of the gospel according to the several names that this gospel receives in the scriptures. The points that we aim to approach in this first subject of the present series are intended to serve as support for all the other subjects presented in sequence about the gospel given to us from heaven by the Eternal Father.